Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
I'm Tina Bangle. I am a vocal coach. I am a professional singer, and I also write songs and write music. I got into the music industry at a later stage compared to kids these days. I was 19 and I went to vocal lessons just by accident. A friend of mine, I went to her bedroom and she had like all these music lyrics on her bed, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And she was like, "I'm going to take singing lessons. You want to come along with me?" And so I went to the lesson that week, and I just loved it. I loved the way that everyone was there, and we were all excited to hear each other's voices on the microphone, and we learnt music and new songs, and it was just so exciting. And then eventually the principal of the school said to me, "Oh, do you want to do Talent Quest? Do you want to start preparing for Talent Quest?" And I was like, "Okay, we'll try that." And it was daunting. My very first Talent Quest, I remember just standing there and not moving. I must have had stage fright or something. But my singing teacher and I worked on movement, but I couldn't get my arm to move. Like, it just kind of stayed stuck against me. So I was like, I just kind of took that as a learning process, and I ended up doing more Talent Quests, and I kind of watched what all the people were doing, you know, the people that were winning. I was watching them and thinking, what are they doing? What's so different, you know? And obviously, you know, they weren't standing there like with their hands by their side and just singing. They were actually moving and, you know, talking to the audience. And so that's what I ended up learning by watching, you know. And every Talent Quest I would try, okay, this time I'm going to try saying hello to the audience and saying, "How are you doing?" And then they would respond back, and it would be like, "Oh, wow, they actually listened to me." You know, it was very confidence building, because I was a very shy child growing up. I found it difficult to speak to teachers. Even putting my hand up in class, it was quite a challenge, and I'd feel nervous, and you know, I could feel my heart palpitating. If a teacher said, "Okay, Tina, why don't you read this passage or this paragraph?" I'd be like, "Oh my God, I got to speak in front of the class." And yeah, so I think singing really helped me develop my confidence. And then, yeah, I started winning Talent Quests, and I was like, "Wow, this is good. This is extra money." And I was able to do Talent Quests every weekend and earn money from that. Eventually, agents saw me and they said, "Oh, do you want to try working and doing a 45-minute set of singing?" And I was like, "Okay, let's try that." Yeah, that's how I eventually did the club circuit around Sydney. And then the opportunity came when the principal of the performing arts school said, "I'm looking for a singing teacher." And she said, "Do you know of anyone?" And I put my hand up and I said, "Can I try? Can I try being a singing teacher?" And then that same month, I decided to go and enroll at the Institute of Music, and I studied music and singing, and that was a real wonderful experience doing that, because before the singing, I was actually studying food and nutrition, so that was it was totally different. But all these opportunities were coming to me in terms of, like, you know, getting engagements for events and singing events. And I was like, "Wow, this is too easy." It was kind of easy, and it's something that I enjoyed doing. So I ended up leaving. I was a consultant at Jenny Craig, you know, helping people lose weight. I ended up leaving that job and then just diving straight into studying music and the voice. And because I was a mature age student, the lecturers would always give myself and this other a friend of mine who was also a mature age student studying voice, they would always give us the opportunity to audition for things. And then that's when I first landed a job doing covers gig with an all-girl band. And it wasn't glitz and glamour as I thought it would be, but it wasn't. It was like, you know, lugging the big speakers up and, you know, doing the pub thing. And my God, that was eye-opening to me because I was very sheltered as a child. So doing pub gigs was quite different to what I had envisioned. I thought that I'd be up on a big stage and really singing in front of hundreds of people. But, it kind of really humbled me and really taught me the ropes of, you know, you've got to get your mind out of, don't be into yourself too much. Yeah, you've got to give, you've got to perform and you've got to give. And I think that you got to do the work.
So funny. Yeah. I think sometimes I and a lot of people that I see around me have these not delusions of grandeur, it's not the right word, but you know, like Oprah syndrome, where we want to be like Oprah.
Yeah.
But we're not willing to do the work now in order to make that happen. We're waiting for it to happen to us rather than actively being involved. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that those pub gigs really opened my eyes. You've got to do the work. You've got to go and put yourself out there and not be afraid and not be so obsessed with what people will think of you. Yeah, it was a challenge. And then eventually I ended up getting a gig with a band called Midnight Sun. We were doing like corporate gigs and high profile weddings, and that was something that I enjoyed doing. And that's when I learned about, you know, the music business, and you had to treat it like a business and not just like a hobby, which was kind of instilled in me as a child. Singing should just be a hobby. Both my parents were accountants, so it was something that, you know, they were like, nobody in my family did music. You know, nobody was in the entertainment industry. So I had really nobody to guide me in that way. I had to kind of search for it myself, which is good for me because then it wasn't handed to me. It was something that I enjoyed discovering. Yeah, so I ended up being in this corporate band called Midnight Sun, and the guy that owned the band was a guy called Gordon Hunt, who was Sade's guitarist in London. And because he had that high caliber of, you know, what he wanted in the people that he worked with, it was like, okay, it's time to step up even more. And so I learned about doing harmony work to the parts of business as well, like marketing and, you know, going to the bridal expos and really putting yourself out there and rehearsing, like full-on rehearsing. Because the last band that I was with before that, we were allowed to have lyrics in front of us.
Yeah.
So it was totally different. It was like, you got to know your words, you got to know the moves, you got to know what to say in front of the audience. So it was just a whole different level, which was great. Then from there, I thought, you know, there's always that expiry date for singers. Eventually, you're not going to be able to do this if you want a family. I mean, or you're going to have to limit it anyway. So I ended up studying a little bit more and going into my music school here in Sydney, focused on getting more clients to help kids develop self-confidence through singing. It kind of evolved. Eventually, my kids were being asked to do support acts for international acts like Leia Salonga. Leia Salonga is a lady who is a Tony Award winner on Broadway. She's one of my idols ever since I was little. So we were able to do, you know, support act for her when she came to Sydney, and other people who won The Voice in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
So it was great, like giving those kids the opportunity to work with amazing singers and professionals like that. And then eventually I also was able to do backing vocals for Filipino acts that would come and tour Australia. So that's quite exciting. So that's what I kind of do now. And also I have my singing school. Yeah,
cool. So I want to know a little bit more. So, okay, let me just rewind a little bit. There's just so much going on up here, you know, all the time. It's exhausting. But there's a couple of things I want to say. One is I love singing. I wanted to be a singer, and I did singing lessons and absolutely loved it. I didn't like the nerves. I'm still really bad at the nerve stuff, but I used to do dancing too. So I started dancing when I was just tiny and did it all the way until I was about 18. And I was maybe two exams off becoming a dance teacher. And I was thinking about going to uni and studying dance and performance. And then I started dating this guy, and he wasn't really all that into my dancing for a number of reasons, one of which involved me being on stage in like tight-fitting clothes, and he didn't really like that idea of people looking at me. So anyway, and I had to make a choice at that point whether I went forward on dancing or singing, and I chose singing, and then I really did nothing with it. And and there's part of me that misses that because actually, just on the way home from the hairdresser today, I was listening to just Stevie Wonder on repeat, just singing my guts out, covered in goosebumps. You know, I just really, it brings me such joy to sing. And I think the thing that has really stopped me from ever pursuing it on, I was in a band as well when I was like 18, 19. And then I was nearly in a girl band too, but I went to the auditions and it was just, I was a bit more Nirvana and they were a bit more Spice Girls, if you know what I mean. Right. So I didn't go down that track, and I just kind of gave up because, I know, like it took time out of my social life too. You know, I didn't get to party if I was having to be on stage at the party.
Yeah.
I tried to do both and it turned out terribly for all involved. Drinking and singing, not good.
No.
And actually one of my best mates growing up is she has done a lot of the same kind of stuff. So she worked in she's a singer as well, and she did a lot of that kind of lugging shit around town, doing the pub gigs, the late night stuff, and also had a kid. And now is doing like toddler preschool music and just absolutely loves doing that kind of stuff. So I'm interested in hearing a bit more of that transition from you being on stage as a singer to, like, how did you come up with the idea to go down the track of working with kids and that kind of stuff? Can we talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, just like your friend, that's basically what happened to me. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do the traveling because I would travel to places like Wollongong or interstate, and I was like thinking, I'd like to look after my family as well and make sure that I'm there for them. A friend of mine who is a teacher in Queensland, she said, "Oh, I take my child to a program called Kinder Music. You should open one here in Sydney," because there wasn't anything around like that at the time. And that was over 10 years ago. And she said, it's really good for their development. And then that same week, I ended up enrolling to learn how to teach the program. I was also pregnant with my son. And I thought this would be ideal. Like, I can use the techniques that they use in Kinder Music to practice on my son when he's born. And that's basically what I did, and it really helped him develop, and it helped me to become a better parent as well, because growing up, I come from a Filipino background, and my family isn't very emotional, you know. They don't really speak about their emotions. When I first met my husband, he was the opposite. He was of Australian background as well, and he's very in touch with his emotions. For me, that's something that I wanted to do. I wanted to learn how to be emotional for my child and learn how to get him to be more expressive as well, and to not be afraid to speak to adults or to his peers. The techniques that we use in the Kinder Music program really help him develop socially and emotionally. So, for example, I do some of the techniques during my everyday routine. So, for example, like I'd go and I'd sing to him, and this was like when he was 6 months old. Like I'd point to him and I'd be like, okay, it's your turn to speak, you know, and then he'd sing back to me. So it'd be like I sing and he'd copy. And it's, and I just think that that's so simple. It's so simple, but it has a big impact on a child, where you have to sit and you have to wait for their response. Like, you don't talk over them.
Yeah.
And that's something that, that I found, this is going to really help me to be a better parent for my child, because nobody tells you how hard it is to be a first time parent.
Mm. Yeah.
it was a challenge. So I think a lot of the activities that we did really helped me to surrender, and also helped me to really listen to him and just take every moment and be in the moment with him. Yeah. So using music, you know, even having quiet times with him, because, you know, sometimes I'd be so busy juggling, teaching, there's times when I would just say, okay, let's have some quiet time, which I use in my lessons, where we just play music, like classical music or any type of music that kind of calms us. Yeah, it teaches children how to self-soothing for themselves, and also, yeah, just regulate their activity, because my boy is really active. He's just full on. He was just he just doesn't stop moving. So, you know, that time, like, we'd have pillows on the floor and we'd just sit and we'd either read quietly or just take time to relax. So I ended up teaching that program I've been teaching that for 10 years now. I see a difference in the kinder music families. You know, they come up to me and they'll say, you know, it really helped them with their routine, takes them out of their house, and just you have something to do and something to look forward to. And yeah, it's really nice when you see them all grown up now and doing private lessons, you know, with singing or with piano. And yeah, it's exciting to see their growth.
When you, first of all, I just want to say, like, yeah, that whole thing where you were saying you would sing and then your son would have his turn to sing back. Mabel is like hilarious. She makes up songs about everything. So she'll do a poo and she'll make up a song about the poo.
Yeah.
And she just sings. And
awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's
cool, awesome. Isn't it?
Yeah. How old is she now?
Nearly three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's been like, she's been singing, because I do still sing a lot. I just don't sing in public anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it was like a lot of things have caused me to stop singing publicly. And a lot of that stuff was like, I'm sure you probably see this in some of your students. I was obsessed with singing. And I remember singing to one of my best friends one day and said, what did you think of that? And she was kind of like, eh. And so, you know, take that on. And then, you know, like, just, I was just thinking about it today, just driving home, like the amount of times where I have felt embarrassed about singing or felt really nervous about it. And I used to do karaoke a lot, you know, just to get some kind of singing happening. But I just kind of stopped. And even I find myself, and I've had this conversation with some of my friends who are all relatively successful, with some of them are actually quite famous. And the one that's famous doesn't have a problem because part of her job is singing. But everyone else was like, you know, even in their own home, like, they don't crank the music and sing really, really loud for fear of what other people are hearing outside. And for me, I use my voice all the time speaking, right? And I've had lots of feedback over the years about, your voice isn't right for this. And I don't take that personally anymore. But singing seems to feel much more intimate for me than just speaking.
Yeah. It really taps into, it taps into your emotions, doesn't it? Like, you have to kind of, you're forced to sometimes relate to the lyric as well, or most of the time anyway.
Yeah,
you got to relate to the lyric to perform the song. I know, even for me, like, when I go to church and I hear a whole, when everybody sings, I just or get welled up in my heart. I'm like, oh, it's time for me to sing.
Yeah.
Or it's overwhelming sometimes and I just kind of well up for some reason. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I know. I actually had, you just reminded me when probably about maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I was really quite depressed and very anxious, I remember going to like a big supermarket at Christmas time in Coffs Harbour. And there was a school orchestra playing and the music from the school orchestra, I walked in and I just started crying. Like it was just, it was just overwhelming. Sometimes music can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that reaction to just well up in tears when you hear something really amazing or be covered completely in goosebumps. Yeah. It's very visceral, isn't it? Music.
Yeah, I was writing and someone was invited me to be on her blog and she said, you know, music is universal. And it's true.
Yeah.
Even like when we, the first music that we hear is our mother's heartbeat. Even when we hear the drum, it's like it touches you, you know, when you hear drum beat.
Yeah.
It's really gets to you. Universal. It touches everybody. It doesn't matter where you're from, how old you are.
Yeah. And so in terms of I was talking just before about how for me, I stopped singing really because of what other people thought rather than the fact that it brings me great joy. And so, and also because of that, the nerves thing, getting up and singing in front of people where I can open myself up to judgment and, you know, that kind of stuff. So when the kids come to you, like what kind of age are they? And have they experienced that? Is that a concern for them? Or are they still in that kind of pre-caring what other people think stage?
That seven-year-old stage where they're kind of loose and let loose, they don't care what they say, that's the age that 9-year-old stage. I love that stage because they're just like, oh, I want to sing this, miss. Or or they'll be there. They just let loose and they just love it. And you can see it in their face. Like I have a little boy, Matthew, who we just recently we were invited to sing at the Darling Harbour Filipino Festival. And he was just there and you can see it in his face, all the facial expression, and he just loves it. And when they hit that teenage years, 13, around that age, that's when they can kind of back off and that's when they're a bit more conscious and you see that growth. Yeah, you see that development. Yeah, sometimes I just have to, you know, let them go through that process, chat to them. Sometimes like we'll talk about singing goals that they will have. The beginning of the year, I talk to them about, you know, what do they want to achieve with singing? What is it that they're challenged with? How are we going to go about overcoming those challenges? And I play music. I play like uplifting music and inspiring music. And I say to them, you know, just write down all your dreams, all your visions about singing and just write it down. Don't worry about whether it feels like, oh, you'll never achieve them. Just write it all down and don't take the pen off the page. Just keep going. Don't overthink. A lot of the kids, which is really wonderful, a lot of the kids have written down, you know, they want to give back to the community using their voice. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting how these children have just come up with that without me saying anything or prompting them. And that's where the project Be Heard came about. It's like so many of my students have just said these goals, but then they want to be of service as well. And it was like, okay, I've got to create something. And then, yeah, when you think about being of service, it gets you out of your mind.
Yeah.
And then it gets you out of, being like, oh, what do they think of me? It's like you're focused on something to work towards. Yeah.
Yeah, so. For sure. I just got off a webinar before jumping on the call with you and that was something that we covered was when nervous, focus on service. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And that's the other thing was...
Did you make that up yourself?
No, I don't even know where I heard it from. But, it's just been like one of those things that I come back to all the time because of my anxiety. Right. It has stopped me from doing a lot of things. So now I have a lot of tools to kind of help me deal with that. And one of them is that, like, when nervous, focus on service, because it's not about us. And when we make it about something bigger than us, then, we can often get out of our own way. So, yeah. So that's like that's my go-to mantra. I say it to myself.
I'm going
all
to
the
use
time.
That.
Go for it.
I'm going to borrow it.
No worries. Yeah. So, actually, let's just go back a little bit. When you started your school, what were some of the struggles? Because did you just open the doors and it was full, or how did you manage to do that when you were still just having a tiny little baby? And what was that like?
Yeah, well, because I had. I was teaching at the performing arts school that I used to learn at. It was a gradual thing. It wasn't like straight away I opened the doors up and here's my singing school. It was more of like, oh, I'm going to offer singing lessons, and whoever knows that I take, I offer singing lessons, make an appointment with me. Eventually it started to grow. What happened was I started to take it more seriously because there was one year where all these kids had left and I was like, where are they? Where did they go? And they ended up going to this singing school, which was, in the next suburb. And I was like, okay, I've got to figure out who this singing school is. And I Googled them the people that were running the school were famous during the 90s and they just had connections and they were, yeah. And so I kind of, the challenge was comparing myself, I'm not like them. I don't have the experience like them. Mm. And that really kind of brought me down. And I was like, gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to get more students? I decided to do something really scary, which my parents were like, why are you doing this? I ended up creating a concert for my students at the Sydney Opera House.
Wow.
And I know, it was huge. And my uncle was trying to talk me out of it as well. He was like, do you know how much is this going to cost to have this done? But it was the best thing that I ever thought about, and it was a great experience. The day after the concert, Oprah was doing her show there, and I had no idea when I booked it and I booked the venue. All of a sudden, I saw all these things posted up saying, Oprah's going to visit at the Opera House, and yeah, it was like, okay, this is a sign. This is exciting. So that's when I slowly recognized that, okay, stop comparing yourself. No one's going to hand you those students. Just stay in your own lane and just keep going and just keep doing what you do, what you know, and use, the resources that you have around you. And my resources were the Filipino community in Sydney, and I live in an area where it has the most Filipino population in the whole of Australia. Mm. And so that was my kind of niche. That's my niche, That's like the parents call me if there's a special Filipino concert, the producers will call me. And so that's, I guess, where I belong, where I can help the kids in that way, because I understand where they're coming from. Mm. The Filipino kids have a tendency to be shy.
Yeah.
And it's called hiya. It's shy means, hiya means shy in.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and it's actually a cultural thing where, if you're sitting at a table and you're offered the last piece of whatever it is that they're eating, you say no. It's like, no, you become that shy person, and that's instilled in our culture that you don't go for that last bit.
Yeah, I'm the one who goes for that last bit. Because I see the last bit there and I'm like, come on. That's ridiculous. Somebody has to eat that last piece. I'm going to eat it just so that other people don't have to worry about the fact that they're not eating it. So it's in service of myself.
In service. Yeah. Well, that's kind of beginning to change now, you know. But that's part of our culture of, you know, if somebody offers you something, that you say no first, unless they force you. it's an interesting concept. But it's funny, like I feel that sometimes, even like with singing, you know, you don't go after what you want. You wait for it to come to you, or you wait for it for somebody to say, yes, okay, it's time for you to do this.
I've been having this battle within myself this just the last few days around that, because, you know, I think a lot of us have been raised to be good girls and what that means in the world. Mm-hmm. And often it means not being so strong in our boundaries and allowing other people to take advantage, and then kind of becoming a bit bitter and resentful when the boundaries are pushing in on us when we haven't established them, because we've been trying not to piss anyone off, you know. And I mean, that's from my own experience. but I definitely see it happening a lot. And then I just started to be conscious of the way I was speaking to Mabel, and I could hear myself saying, be a good girl.
Oh, yeah.
And so like now I'm making a very conscious effort not to, you know, she doesn't have to be a good girl if she doesn't want to be a good girl, you know. But it's that label. Yeah, and it's the label and what that means and what we take it to mean. You know, is the good girl the one that goes for the last piece of sand, you know, whatever, a cucumber sandwich? Probably not, you know. We have to really redefine that. But, yeah, that whole idea of good girl and being polite, you know.
Yeah.
Often we put ourselves in some pretty ridiculous situations, like getting in a lift with a person that feels really creepy because we don't want to make them feel awkward about, you know, the lift club. Why did the lift, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's complex.
Totally. I get you. And that's the way I was when I was younger, you know, exactly how you felt, exactly how what you're saying. I think this project that I'm doing is through music, you can teach a child to be expressive, and it's okay to speak up. It's okay to be expressive if you're angry. Mm. You can be expressive and be angry. You can be expressive and be nice and graceful. It's just a way to speak about your feelings and cope with situations.
Yeah. And even just with that expression, the anger and being sad and expressing those fully, but also, you know, there's that, I don't know how many times in my life I've been told, don't get too excited too.
Yes.
And so that leads us up to suppress a lot. And that's not healthy either.
Yeah, and then we bury it. And things that have happened to me when I was younger, exact things, you know, don't be too excited or be a good girl. Now that I'm a parent and now that Christian's grown up, he's 10 years old now, I can see, oh, wow, some of those things when I was a child should have not happened. So anyway,
yeah.
So this is a way that I'm kind of helping Christian to be a better version, not a better version, but like, you know,
his
to be able
version
to
of him, but fully expressing who he is rather than repressing it to save other people's feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And just to be a strong person and a person that believes in something and has values. And I just really want him to thrive that way. It might not even be through music, because I know he loves his sport. Could be through his sport as well, but I think this project is a way for me to help kids to not be afraid to speak.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. So what is it and how did it kind of come about? What led you to start
last year? I was able to sing with a girl that was on The Voice, Ellie Oh. She's a contestant on The Voice. She was an opera singer from Korea. And she was invited to sing for the Kids Express organization, which is an organization that is a non-profit organization that helps children using music and art therapy. So they use those techniques to help children who have gone through trauma. It's a 10-week program that they put the children through, and it's not to teach them how to sing or perform or dance or do artwork. It's just a way for them to maybe create a song about how they feel, or they have the music therapist to just kind of guide them in a way to just cope with what's happened to them. I did backing vocals for Elio at the Kids Express event, which was held at Kirribilli House, because Mrs. Abbott is the ambassador of Kids Express. I found out, you know, I got to speak to the music therapist and found out what they did, and I was like, I had no idea that this existed. I didn't know that music therapy can go into dealing with, you know, trauma. Mm. I knew that, like, if it was speech development, not about trauma. So I was like, wow, this is really good. This is something that I could relate to, and I wish that something like that would been around when I was younger, because, yeah, I would have been able to express how I felt about the overwhelm that I had, any frustration, you know, because even growing up and migrating to Australia from the Philippines, I found that very overwhelming.
Mm, I bet.
And I would have conversation in my head, and I knew what I wanted to say, but I didn't have the vocabulary to say it. I think Kids Express give the kids the vocabulary to express how they feel. Yeah, so I ended up doing the gig, and then Elio had done fundraising for the organization before. Yeah, I just kind of emailed them and said, you know, I'd like to help you guys out and start a crowdfunding campaign. So the project Be Heard is we're going to create a film clip to my Be Heard song, and that's to help bring awareness about how powerful music can be, you know, how you can kind of let yourself go and not be afraid to speak out. We're going to raise another $3,000 to help put one child through the Kids Express program, which is that 10-week program I was telling you about. We're halfway.
Yeah,
we're past halfway, which has been great. Like, it's been a week already. We're almost at the $3,000 mark. So we want to raise a total of $5,000.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good. And so many people have been sharing the video that we have on the page and on Facebook. And, yeah, it's been getting lots of lovely comments and support.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like the project's called Be Heard, but it's also been an exercise for you in being heard too.
Yeah. It was a challenge. It's still a challenge for me to reach out to people, even for, like, even when I reached out to you, remember, I was like, yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to fit me in. But, yeah, it's been good for me. It's been really, yeah, it's reminds me of the Opera House project, you know, creating something bigger than yourself and creating experiences. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like you grabbed the last piece of cake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I know, yeah, but you know what? The Filipino community is great in terms of support. They're the first people that will get behind you. If you need their help, it's like, okay, let's do this, you know? Yeah, it's been good.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's On the Couch.
Biggest fear.
My little boy not having more experiences with his grandparents. Mm. I think, because there's one of my students who I've been teaching for many years now, she just lost her grandfather a few days ago. He was always at every performance, he'd be in the first row with his camera, and he'd have his new gadget, and he'd film everything and then post it up on my Facebook. And he was always there to support the students, and especially his grandkids. Yeah, I think that's something that I am afraid of, that one day, you know, Christian's going to go through that and his grandparents won't be able to come to his soccer game or his grandma won't be there to cook chicken nuggets for him.
Yeah.
Homemade chicken nuggets, which is his favorite. Yeah, I think that's my biggest fear.
Either way, you know, just losing someone that I love scares the shit out of me. But yeah, but definitely I can't even consider it being, you know, my parents. And, you know, I'm 40. My parents are, they're still young, like they're in their 60s. But, yeah, it's like, yeah, oh, I can't even think about it. I just always do this when I think about it. Cancel, 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 cancel. Yeah.
Is that your coping mechanism?
Cancel. Stop thinking about it. Stop. I think that's because I have a tendency to catastrophize things. So when I feel myself going down that path, I stop myself by going, cancel, cancel, delete, delete.
That's anyway. A good word, actually. Yeah. I say, shut up.
Yeah. That's probably a little harsher towards yourself.
Yeah. So I think maybe delete and cancel is good.
Yeah. And for those who can't see, obviously, I do this waving thing above my head where I just like, it's like I'm actually physically moving the thought out. But anyway.
That's one of my fears.
What do you struggle with in business at the moment? What's the biggest struggle there?
I think my struggle is not saying no and having the boundaries, just like what you said. Like I did a gig the other day and I should have not taken the gig because I had so much going on. I had like the crowdfunding happening and getting that set up, and then I had other gigs that I needed to focus on, and this the piano player called me up and said, you know, we just got a gig. Do you want to do it with me? And it was like 2-3 days before the gig. And I said, yeah, okay, should be good. But then I was like, I didn't practice enough and the gig just was not the way that I wanted it to be. And, yeah, I forgot how to, you know, that 45 minutes of singing just by myself, how hard it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had to do 3 45-minute sets, and it was a challenge. It was like, oh gosh, I forgot how much energy you got to put into this. Mm. So,
yeah.
And then the next day, he texted me and he said, "Can you cancel the rest of the dates that I gave you?" And then I was like,
"Ouch!"
And that was like, oh my god, that's never happened to me before. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I let you down." You know, like. Normally we would get together and rehearse, and that week we were just so busy that we didn't organize anything to rehearse. And yeah, it really brought me down to, you know, okay, you're not that good. you're not that good, Tina. You still have to practice. You can't just wing it. Yeah. So it made me feel like, okay, yeah, don't take on too much.
How do you define failure? What does it mean to you?
Failure means not trying, not giving things a go, and staying still and not growing. I think that's failure.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah. And, you know, being in the industry, in the music industry, you're hit with that all the time, that, we're not ready for you yet, or we've found someone else, or, yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of rejection, isn't there,
in
any of those, even as a voiceover artist, you know, there is a lot of rejection that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
Recurring voice, so, you know, we've always got that evil bitch in our head that's telling us to shut up or whatever it's telling us to do. What does yours say on repeat the most?
Oh, no, you're not ready. You're not good enough. You're not ready. You're not good enough. Yeah, that goes on a lot.
What's the you're not ready thing?
You're not ready for something bigger, or you're not ready. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always like that, but then I end up getting
proving
there.
Proving that you are ready.
Yeah. Or, you know, it takes a while. I guess it's trusting the process. That's what I've learned to do. Especially in the music industry, you just have to trust the process of no one's going to give any opportunity to you. You just have to work and then it will come to you, or you create your own opportunity. And that's what I learned with creating my album as well. Like, I created my album at the age of 40. Over the years, I was like, how do I do that? And, is someone going to come and knock at my door and say, oh, you're really good at that gig. Can you record these songs? And that didn't happen. So I was just like, okay, I'll go and find someone to co-write songs with and get someone to produce the album. And yeah. And that's how it's kind of like this project Be Heard has been an evolution, because I wrote the song with a famous Filipino composer together with Lionel Cole, who was actually on The Voice a couple of years back, and he's the cousin of Natalie Cole.
Oh, right, yeah.
And, yeah, so he produced that song and he co-wrote that with us. And, it's been an evolution. You know, I would have not thought that I would create a project like this so soon. It was just kind of, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? What can I do? How can I make this bigger, or how can I make good out of what I've just done? Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So what does success mean to you on the flip side of that?
Keep dreaming big. Yeah, dream big, but sometimes you won't reach the goal that you want, but at least you'll be close to it. Success means that if I see that my family's happy and they're content and they're, yeah, I think that's success, if they're happy, when they're happy.
Cool. And the last question is freedom. What does freedom mean to you, and how does that look?
Oh, freedom, I guess freedom is pretty much what I'm doing. My husband was saying to me the other day, wow, you're actually doing something that you really love. You know, there's times when it's a challenge, the money hasn't come in as much as we would like it to, but at least like every day I wake up and I think, wow, okay, what am I going to do today? And I'm excited about that. And then when I go to bed, I'm like excited about what I'm going to do tomorrow or what I've done today. And yeah, that's freedom. I think freedom to be able to do something that you love.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
If you want private singing lessons, I offer private singing lessons, or I also help some people that are speakers as well with any vocal scales. I can help them improve in their breathing. Yeah, so you can visit me at www.tinabangor.com. And then my crowdfunding campaign, the Project Be Heard, is on Indiegogo. Yeah, Indiegogo/projects/Be Heard.
I'll put a You'll link in to, the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's easier for, I'm like, well, there's a lot of dashes there. Yes. Yeah. It's, if you just Google in the Indiegogo site as well, Project Be Heard, Tina Bangle, that'll come up.
Cool. And are you still doing your podcast?
I am. It's not as frequent as your one, but it's there. Yeah.
And so that can be found in iTunes. It's called iTunes, One Voice.
One Voice Can Change the World.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, and you were on it.
I was. Yeah, check out my episode.
Yes. Actually, yours has been the most downloaded episode.
Really? Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah, yours and another singer who's from Sydney, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Wow, that's awesome.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
It's funny when you were saying that you were singing Stevie Wonder in the car. That's my tip.
Oh, really?
To go find a song that you absolutely love, or a singer that you love, and just sing. Just get those goosebumps and just let go and be in the moment of singing like like no one's listening to you or no one's watching you, just let go.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, there's so many benefits in that.
You just feel good. And, you know, if it is true that your, you know, your vibe is the thing that attracts life to you, then there's no better state to be in, right, than covered in goosebumps, feeling really connected to a song, feeling joyful, you know. And for me, it's like I might not sing on stage anymore. I might not, you know, I don't know, be entertaining anymore, but it doesn't mean I can't sing. It doesn't mean that I can't, you know, I don't even have to be doing it in my house. Like for me, my sing time is when I'm in the car and I just crank the tunes and I can sing as loud as I want and nobody can hear me.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it's like picking, you can pick your nose. No one's going to know about it except the person parked next to me. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, like I think that that would really be my thing is like don't put pressure on it, right? Like, you don't have to sing. You don't have to, you don't even have to do anything out of any more than the fact that you enjoy it and that it brings you joy. That's enough sometimes. We don't have to find ways to necessarily monetize all the things that we love. You can keep some things just for you. And for me, that, you know, that singing thing is just for me. I don't really have a, you know, a dream sitting inside me of being on stage anymore. On stage in a different way, sharing a message, just not through singing these days. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to sing, and I, you know, I'm going to continue to do it in the car, in the shower with my daughter, you know.
and it's and when your child watches you be like that, I love it. You know,
like and she gets really excited by it. You know, she's like, "Mommy, I love you know, sing more." She won't be doing that. I realize that when she's 15, she'll be like, "Shut up, you're embarrassing me."
Well, Christian, Christian likes watching me and Rob dance and sing to, you know, our favorite 90s song for Step by Step.
Awesome.
But he kind of gets embarrassed, but he loves it deep down.
They do secretly love it. Cool. Well, thank you so much for today. Oh, loved it.
Thank you. I'm really glad you were able to fit me in. Thanks so much.
No worries. Pleasure.
I loved it too.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.